It is time for session number 2 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this school. Your teacher today is going to be E.A. Elam. Now, Elam was born in 1855 and graduated from Barrett College in Spencer, Tennessee in 1879. And he has been long dead. He is not going to himself deliver this lesson, but I'm going to read to you from some Sunday school material that he wrote for studies in 1922. And I was reading last time that our session met from his introduction to these Bible studies. We've talked about how that it was the duty of all to study the Bible. And secondly, how it's the duty of sinners to study the Bible. And so number 3, in his introduction to this series, he talks about the duty and delight of Christians to study the Bible. Let's see what Brother Elam said. Christians delight to study the Word of God because they are His children and have the Spirit of God, Romans 8 and verse 9, and are partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. They long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that ye, that is they, may grow thereby unto salvation, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, and hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew 5 and verse 6. They lay up the word of God in the hearts that they may not sin against him. Psalm 119 and verse 11. It dwells richly in their hearts. Colossians 3 and verse 16. And is a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. Psalm 119 verses 105. Christians are exhorted to be sound in faith. Titus 2:2. And to try themselves whether they are in the faith. And to prove themselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5, and to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. These things they cannot do without studying the Bible regularly. The so-called church members are unsound in faith and fail in the service of God because they do not study His Word. One who does not love the Word of God and who does not delight in the practice of its principles has great reason to be alarmed at one's own condition. The last recorded words of the great Apostle Peter were to Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number 4, the duty of Christians to teach the Bible to others. It is also the privilege and duty of all Christians to teach the Word of God to others. In fact, he who does not work for the salvation of others is himself not a Christian. The Hebrew Christians failed here. They were reproved for their slow progress and for their inability to teach others. Hebrews 5:11-14. Many today deserve the same reproof. Christians should be ready to teach the Word of God at all times, and therefore, whatever opportunity affords. In the first place, they should teach it diligently and daily to their own children. Deuteronomy 6:6-10, and Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Nothing can take the place of this home teaching and training. Nothing can repair the injury when children suffer who do not receive such instruction and training. Parents who fail to teach the Word of God diligently to their children and to train them in the fear of God do not properly and sufficiently love them. Home is God's ordained institution for the training and development of children. It is both His kindergarten and his great training school for usefulness and good. Parents are teachers, and the Bible is the textbook. Mothers must rule the household, 1 Timothy 5:14, and fathers must nurture their children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, having them in subjection with all gravity, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 4, and must learn them and must lead them into the faithfulness of the gospel, Titus 1 and verse 6. This book can help parents in the discharge of this sacred duty, but it can't not relieve them of it. In the second place, Christians must also teach the Word of God to others. Christ taught one man, and he taught multitudes. Jesus taught at night and during the day. He taught in the synagogues and in the temple. He taught on the mountain and in the plain. He taught on the land and on the sea. He taught in the home of the people and along the dusty highways. He taught the poor and the rich. He taught saints and sinners. He taught by asking and answering questions. He taught one at a time, in classes and multitudes. He contended mightily and publicly against the scribes and Pharisees, denouncing them as hypocrites and children of Satan. And in gentleness and mercy, he taught a fallen woman at Jacob's well. He sent out his apostles to teach all nations. They taught wherever they could find an audience. Paul at Ephesus entered into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. And when he left, he reasoned daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Acts 19:8-10. Paul taught from house to house, as well as publicly, and admonished every one night and day with tears. Acts 20:20-31. His teaching during this time was not confined to Ephesus, because all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. He sat down and taught the women at the place of prayer by the riverside at Philippi. And at midnight he taught the jailer and all that were in his house, Acts 16:13-32. At Athens his custom was, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews on the Sabbath, that is, Saturday, and in the marketplace every day with them that met him. And in the midst of the Areopagus, he taught the learned Athenians, Acts 17:2, 17, and 22, before the unrighteous Felix and profligate Drusilla. He reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Acts 24:24-25. He made a mighty effort to teach Festus, Festus's military tribunes, and King Agrippa and Bernice, as they sit in great pomp before him, Acts 25:23-26, 32. As the Lord had said, Paul stood before kings bearing the gospel of salvation to them, Acts 9:15. While at Rome, he abode 2 whole years in his own hired dwelling and received all that went in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, none forbidding him, Acts 28:30-31. Philip informally preached Jesus to one man as he journeyed in his chariot. Priscilla and Aquila took the eloquent Apollos unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately, Acts 18:26. And the Christians who were scattered abroad from Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the word, Acts 8:4. Number 5. When and where should Christians teach the Bible? With these examples of Jesus, the apostles, and the early disciples before us, and in the light of all these scriptures, we cannot resist the conclusion that it is now the privilege and duty of all Christians, according to their abilities and opportunities, to teach the Bible to everybody in every place and at all times. whenever and wherever one or many may be found ready to learn. They should teach it on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and on any day of the week. Number 6, an exhortation. These lessons should be studied from the Bible. With these lessons, the Bible should be read also through and through. The lesson connections and all references, therefore, should be read. All this must be done through the week. If teachers would instruct their classes and build them up in the faith of the gospel, they must be familiar with the truths and principles of the lessons and must receive these first into their own hearts. They must use the Bible regularly and go before their classes with an open Bible and the love of God in their hearts. They should encourage their classes to study the Bible daily, to use it in the preparation of the lessons, and to bring it to the class. It will accomplish but little for teachers to mechanically read the questions from the book and for the class to turn and read the answers. The one great purpose to be served is to get the Word of God as the good seed into the hearts of all. And the one grand consummation to be attained is eternal salvation by the grace of God. Let all parents and teachers remember, therefore, that they are preparing souls for better service to God on earth and higher service in heaven. With this important work must be connected with earnest daily prayer, prayer to God for His wisdom and guidance. Without this, parents are not prepared to teach their children. Teachers are not prepared to go before their classes. Elders are not prepared to teach and tend the flock. And preachers are not prepared to preach the gospel. Those who are intensely in earnest and feel the burden of their responsibility will pray. Well, now that's the conclusion to the introduction. As I turn these pages in this little book of Sunday School Lessons from 1922, I see in there a chart called a chronological table from the creation to the birth of Christ, according to Usher's chronology. Now, Usher is sometimes ridiculed today because he tried to date the chronology all the way back to the time of the creation, which he dated in 4004 B.C. Now, to give him credit, this was a great work. And though this table of events in the Bible and how they are dated has been revised somewhat, it hasn't been revised much. It's still pretty close. And he says a note in this that Old Testament dates cannot be given with exactness, and some of the dates are uncertain. Yet when we read our Bibles, and some of the old Bibles used to have Usher's chronology along with them. And this chart in this little Sunday school book has the periods and the dates and the major events and the scripture lessons of all the things from the creation to the birth of Christ. Now, the next time we meet, we're going to begin with the first lesson. It's dated January 1st, 1922. And this first quarter, we're going to be talking about later leaders and prophets of Israel in the northern kingdom, beginning with the revolt of Jeroboam. Looking ahead, we're going to find in the second quarter, we'll talk about the prophets and kings of Judah in the southern kingdom. In the third quarter, the period of the exile and the restoration. And then in the fourth quarter, we're going to be talking about Jesus, the world's Savior. So there's a lot to look forward to. We hope you'll be faithful in attendance to this Bible school. Now this concludes the second session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. So you may now be dismissed.